This is one of the spookiest looking houses I've ever seen. We pull up and it's just haunted house. Haunted house, and we're staying here.
Imagine we have our own haunted house.
You guys, would you come?
We sent Vicky a picture.
I go, Vicky, we're ghost hunting again. She goes, great news.
Biggest lies that my mom has ever told me. Number one, there weren't ghosts in the Victorian houses. Number two, that babies come from praying. Damn it, Vicky.
Well, what's the thing you're most excited to investigate here tonight in this haunted hotel?
The thing I'm most excited to investigate is how good I sleep in that bed. Happy hauntings, horror hookers. You know my favorite thing is alliteration, right? Have we discussed that? It's my favorite thing.
I don't think we've discussed it.
We have, because your favorite thing is personification.
You're so right. Where does inspiration strike?
You know, I push that button and I just let my freak fly. Horror. I let my freak fly free.
Now, horror hookers.
You know, I just wanted everybody to feel included because I brought us on a quest, and I didn't know that we were going to do this until last night when one thing about me, I don't commit to a plan until 24 hours in advance at the most. Mm-hmm. So I had a few ideas because Brooke had pitched to me. Well, first of all, she sent me a picture of Halloween pajamas and said Summerween. And I said, okay, if you're going to do the damn thing, we're going to do the damn thing. There is a notoriously haunted hotel in Denver, and it's called the Brown Palace. And it's like, I would say it's number two in rankings after the Stanley. However, we couldn't get the spooky presidential room until like months and months and months out. So then I did a little more digging and I found us a interactive experience, if you will. We are at a bread and breakfast called the Lumber Baron Inn and Gardens, home to two notorious Colorado murders.
Eek. We are in... You know, if anyone has watched American Horror Story, it's essentially season one of that show. This is one of the spookiest looking houses I've ever seen. We pull up and it's just haunted house. Haunted house, and we're staying here.
Haunted house in the middle of Denver, and might I add, it's for sale, and I'm considering being the next lady of the land.
Listen.
Because imagine the thumbnail, me looking dramatic as I always do. Yeah. Me with a mysterious title as I always do. I bought Denver's most haunted house. Come on.
No, it's writing itself.
It literally writes itself.
And I don't want to say that we did spend an embarrassing 45 minutes scrolling through the Zillow listing, like making big plans, but we did. We did. And so
we are making dream plans. Imagine we have our own haunted house.
You guys, would you come?
Would you come? And that's the other thing is I'm trying to be quiet because I don't want them to hear our scheming because you don't know how thin these walls are.
Our
$3 million idea. That's how much this sucker costs, by the way. I wonder if we could get it for a steal.
We can.
I wonder if I could bat my eyes and bargain. I'll be like, okay, what about
you've half? Done it once, you'll do it again.
All I'm saying is imagine this, okay? Me and Brooke, we have a the Potoween episodes write themselves. Yeah. Staying alone in our haunted house in each and every room in the basement. Come on, get real. Then mom, it's a family business. Yeah. I employ my entire family. Mom is the receptionist. She checks you in. She's wearing like a Victorian outfit. Grandma, okay. If you're going to stay here, the ghosts are real. If you're not going to stay here, we're going to hire my grandma to do the spooks for people. And we'll give her like a little candle and a little like nightgown. And she'll roam around the hallways at night. She'll spook people with her little candle and her little nightie. And then we'll have my dad be the creepy bellhop that goes to people's doors and is like, would you like any tea?
Oh my God. No, we make grandma talk in an accent. Like a Victorian era, like old school accent.
On Friday nights, we zip her up in a corset and make her perform. Oh, when we got here, there was people having tea. It is so cute. It is actually one of the most beautiful houses in Denver that I've ever seen. It's like a historic Victorian house.
And it's totally refurbished.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But not in a white farmhouse way, which you know the people of Instagram get so mad at.
Oh, no. Like restored to its like full glory, not like redone. Mm-hmm. The wallpaper alone is something insane. And it has the owner of the house is the one who checked us in. And he said that this was the first ever ballroom was located in this house in the state of Colorado, I think you said, or at least in Denver.
Some crazy statistic.
So there's this really insane ballroom randomly on the third floor that has like a creepy sunroom. And it's, I mean, yeah.
Well, we thought we would bring you on our adventure so we can add in clips at the end of our pod to go.
We, listen, I don't want to say we might be podding to go, might be ghost hunting around, but we did bring the REM pod.
Well, why was it going off?
You're getting really close to this bitch. Testing?
That's what the ghost is doing.
Testing?
It's like, she's kissing it.
Essentially, what it does is it measures the electromagnetic field around it. And when something, specifically a specter, if you will, if a ghost gets close to it, it can set the REM pod off and it makes lots of noise and kind of allows the spirits to let you know that they're here with us.
Is that where spectator comes from?
Specter? Like a spectral spirit?
But like, you know, a spectator is kind of like a lurker.
Ooh, I don't know.
Something tells me specter came first and the spectator came after. They're like, yeah, that's a pretty good term. Let's add on to it.
Love that.
Anyway, do you want me to read you?
I would.
Little
crash course for those who haven't tuned into Podoween before. What we'll do is we'll give a little bit of a history, a rundown of where we are Podoweening from. This is summer. This is Weenie Hut Junior. Summer. This is Summerween.
Which is my favorite term ever. I think there should be summer Weenie Hut Junior merch.
Summer Weenie.
But it'll have to be next summer because we're too late now.
Yeah, summer Weenie merch. We're summer Weenieing right now. And we're going to give you a backstory of where we are. And Keep the spooks alive and keep it going.
Oh my God. And let me know in the comments below, should this be my new residence? Because I'm really into it.
I haven't seen a glimmer in your eye since you showed me the barn for the first time.
I can see the thumbnails in my eyes already. I can see it.
It's funny because last night we were literally talking by the fire in a different episode. We were like, Morgan, like, what do you foresee? And you're like, I just need a creative spark. I need to find the spark. Uh-oh. There's a fire.
And then we were discussing, why is it that all of the paranormal YouTubers live in Nevada? Someone explain that.
We think there might be a conspiracy going on. And why aren't we there?
I don't want to be there.
What?
No offense to Nevada. I've heard Nevada is a great place. That just sounds really hot for me.
Hot. No. Uh-uh.
We went, the last time we went to Vegas together, we went in June and it was 120 degrees every single day. And I'm just not, I don't have that thick of skin. Tonight, we are spending the night inside of one of Colorado's most infamous haunted houses. Behind us is the Lumber Baron Inn, a beautiful Victorian mansion that looks like something straight out of a Hallmark movie. But beneath the stained glass windows, handcrafted woodwork, and elegant garden lies a story that's remained unsolved for over 50 years. Might I add, I, growing up, remember going to the zoo because if you know anything about Denver, the zoo is kind of central to all of these Victorian houses. And I remember being a kid and driving past all of them and being like, Mom, those houses are haunted. And she was like, no.
She goes, ghosts aren't real.
Ghosts aren't real, Morgan.
And we sent Vicky a picture. I go, Vicky, we're ghost hunting again. She goes, great news.
Biggest lies that my mom has ever told me. Number one, there weren't ghosts in the Victorian houses. Number two, that babies come from praying. Damn it, Vicky. Damn it. Oh, hope kids aren't watching. I just crush everyone's dream. Uh-oh. We better not start talking about Christmas. Because that was also devastating to me. A story involving two murdered teenage girls, strange voices, shadow figures, phantom footsteps, and guests who claim they weren't alone in their rooms. Tonight, us work wifers, we are sleeping in the honeymoon suite to find out for ourselves, which happens to be the biggest room on the property because, you know, I really splurge for us.
You're really nice to me.
I think it was pretty cheap.
You too could stay in the honeymoon suite with your best friend.
Okay, just for a comparison, the room that I wanted to stay in at the Brown Palace is like $1,200 to $1,400 a night because it's the presidential suite. I think this sucker was like $200 at the most.
Bargain.
If you live in Denver, come bargain hunting with your friends.
There's a jacuzzi tub in here,
bro.
I will say though,
can we please film a Tron from the jacuzzi? I want to sit with my jammies in the jacuzzi.
Yes.
Not with the water on.
Anything you want. Also, we are going to be spooning in this bed tonight,
bro. somebody call Brooke's sister.
It's literally
we need a Somnia Plus, and this shit is so small.
We need a Somnia Plus bed expander in this hotel room right now because it's one apple wide. One apple wide. One of our legs is going to fit.
Four watermelon sized butt cheeks.
I know that's right.
All right. Are we ready?
We're ready.
Are you? Sit down, get a drink, get a snack. I will say I love that all of the walls in here are circular. It's like a dome. He took us to the ballroom, and there is a tea room or a sunroom or a reading room, whatever you would call it, that has benches that are, yes, mm-hmm. yes, I like that. Benches in a circle that is all like rounded windows around you. I'm really envisioning my life here.
I think we should show them. I think we should go up there and take some video.
I think we should too.
La la. We'll take the REM pod.
I might have to make a phone call tomorrow and ask you, there's a price and there's a moving price. What's the moving price?
I've never seen you so serious. You're dead ass.
Bro, I am dead ass. This is so cool. Wait, okay. I just think about it. We could have people come stay and then randomly we'll pop in and be like, boo.
I do want to put you guys on to something. I just sent Morgan down this rabbit hole. One of my favorite creators of all time is Christine McConnell. She's on YouTube. She has a show called From the Mind of Christine McConnell, and her YouTube videos are quite literally TV quality content. And she is just this master craftsman. And she bought a house just like this and refurbishes it room by room and makes it kind of like spooky and really artistic. And all I can envision is you doing something like that, going like room from room. And like,
it could be like an interactive pod experiment where we set up all of these rooms and have the people of the pod come stay in them.
Oh my gosh. We turn them into escape rooms. If you want to leave, you have to solve the puzzle.
That's pretty good.
There's booby traps. Sorry.
Oh my God. There's a dumbwaiter. Yes. One of my favorite shows on Netflix is called The Watcher, and a big part of the story is the dumbwaiter, and all I'm saying is I want to go for a ride. Okay. The Mansion Before the Ghost Stories. In 1890, during Denver's silver boom, wealthy Scottish immigrant John Mowat built what was considered one of the grandest homes in Northwest Denver. Mowat wasn't just wealthy. He literally helped build Denver. I wonder if he's proud. His lumber company supplied materials for more than 200 buildings throughout the rapidly growing city, and this mansion became his masterpiece, a showcase of everything his company could create. Each room highlighted a different species of wood, from walnut to cherry to oak and maple, with elaborate carved fireplaces, custom woodwork, and a massive third floor ballroom with soaring ceilings where the family entertained guests.
That's so cool.
Imagine our movie nights in the ballroom.
All I'm saying is I can picture it. It has stars on the ceiling, you guys.
It literally, the romance, the movie's writing itself. Do I end up dying in the movie because I get killed by the ghost? No. You're right. But yeah. Fortunes change quickly. After the silver crash of 1893, the Mowat family's wealth declined. Uh-oh. Over the following decades, ownership changed repeatedly. Eventually, the mansion was divided into apartments, fell into severe despair, and by the late 20th century had become a condemned building awaiting demolition. What a tragedy that would have been.
That's so sad.
If the story ended there, this would simply be another beautifully restored Victorian home. Instead, something happened inside these walls in 1970 that changed the house forever. Part 2. The murders. Have you guys ever played Clue? This is like Clue IRL. Who done it and where? But may they rest in peace. I'm so sorry. I shouldn't make jokes about them.
No.
I'm so sorry. May you rest in peace. And if you're here with us, we're friendly, I swear. October 1970, the mansion had long since been converted into inexpensive apartments, which the owner did tell us that there was 10 apartments up in this.
I think more than that even.
Was there?
He said there was like 5 on the ballroom floor. And it's not that big. These apartments must have been tiny. Tiny.
Tiny, teeny, tiny. Mm-hmm. You are spooning with all of your roommates.
Yeah.
17-year-old Caroline Noach was living in one of the upstairs units. Her friend, 18-year-old Marianne Weaver, came to visit. Neither girl left alive. Investigators discovered that Kara had been sexually assaulted, strangled, and hidden beneath her own bed. Marianne appeared to have walked into the apartment afterwards. She was shot and killed before she could escape. The murders have never been solved. More than 50 years later, no one has ever been convicted, and many believe the girls never truly left. Mm. 17 and 18 is so young to be living in apartments.
Especially in the 70s. Like, I feel like that was pretty rare. Ugh, so sad.
So sad.
So young. And the concept of, like, being murdered and hidden under your own bed. It's so dark. Horribly dark.
I know. It kind of feels like the same as the Ohio murders, where it's just young girls going to live their dreams. They're like, oh my God, this is amazing. We're starting our life now in our new life, in our new town, in our new apartments. It's so devastating.
The fact that now, I wonder if they would ever consider opening the case back up, because I know a lot of the cases from like the 70s and 80s, a lot of them were cold cases because DNA technology hadn't been developed as much as it is today in like forensic sciences. I wonder if that's something that they'll ever revisit, because it's like over a 50 year case at this point. And the fact that it's not solved is so insane. Like,
I know there's also probably an element too of they were inexpensive apartments and they really like emphasized that they probably didn't care to put budget into figuring it out.
That's awful.
Which is horrible. Part 3, the reported hauntings. Today, the building operates as a luxury bed and breakfast that hosts beautiful blonde ladies like us.
Yes.
Do I think that the man below who checked us in thought we were on a romantic getaway? Yes. And is he wrong? No.
We went to the convenience store that's like right next door. And the lady checking us out, she's like, you guys are so pretty. Are you sisters? And we went, oh, no. And Morgan and I walk away and Morgan goes, she thinks we're gay.
I was like, what did you say in your Snapchat that we watched last night? Like, it's the power of friendship. It's overwhelming.
All my Snapchat memories. It was like 5 years ago today. It was the first ever episode of this very podcast. We talked about the story of how Morgan's family thought we were gay on our first ever road trip together when they met us me for the first time.
LOL.
And if you thought that story was fake, it wasn't, because the Snapchat, literally minutes after it happened in the aftermath of us going upstairs in bed, came up. And I was like, they think we're gay. It's just the power of friendship. It's overwhelming.
And it is. And to this day, it is. Okay, let's talk about the reported hauntings, what we may experience in this very room tonight in our bed that is the size of a loaf of bread.
Shoebox.
People don't avoid staying here because of the hauntings. Many book rooms specifically because of them. I wonder what crazy idiotic people would do that.
Why would you do that?
According to the owners, staff, paranormal investigators, and guests, activity has been reported throughout nearly every floor of the mansion. Among the most commonly reported experiences, women's voices whispering in empty hallways, footsteps climbing the staircase after everyone has gone to bed, bedroom doors opening and closing on their own, cold spots that appear suddenly and disappear just as quickly, the smell of pipe tobacco with no obvious source, apparitions of young women on staircase and in hallways. Ooh, we should take pictures when it's dark.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
Lights switching on and off, and guests waking up believing that somebody is standing beside the bed. Flashback to the Stanley and Gettysburg. Thank you very much. We've already experienced that once or twice.
Oh, we're not sleeping tonight.
But you know what's funny is they might be interested in us because we are two young ladies and we look friendly.
Oh, we could be besties with them for sure.
So specifically the honeymoon suite where we are staying tonight, which again is maybe one of the most beautiful bedrooms that I've ever seen. The way that the bathroom is bigger than the room is everything to me. I'm going to live in here. While much of the reported activity centers around what's now called the Valentine Room,
which is right next door,
the apartment connected to the 1970s murders, owners say, oh, so the murders happen in the Valentine Room, which is right next door.
Like sharing a wall with us.
Mm-hmm. Owners say experiences have been reported throughout the mansion, including unexplained footsteps, whispers, and doors opening by themselves. So, whether you believe in ghosts, residual energy, or think every haunting has a logical explanation, We're about to find out what happens when two people spend the night inside of one of Denver's most notorious haunted houses. Okay, so I didn't know this. My dear friend to my left brought this to my attention when she was looking up where I was bringing her tonight.
She goes, I'm bringing you somewhere. I go, can I research it? Can I do some research? She goes, fine. She's like, I don't think anything major happened there. I go, lady, tell him.
So in 2022, the mansion became nationally known after being featured on Netflix paranormal series 28 Days Haunted, which I've never heard of. A production team spent nearly a month living inside of the house conducting paranormal investigations. According to the owners, the opportunity came after one of the show's producers stayed overnight and reported an unexplained late night knock at her bedroom door despite no one being there. Okay.
Oh my God, if that happens to us, I'm gonna cry.
New idea. I buy the house. Okay.
Right.
Next thing we know, we're Netflix stars.
No, and it's the pipeline. It's the pipeline. If you're not gonna be on Love is Blind, you're gonna be on this show.
You're so right. And we're gonna make our own.
Plus, no, it wasn't Love is Blind, it was Age of Attraction.
And damn right. Why did they call me back?
What?
Well,
so speaking of 28 Days Haunted, there is a clip that went really viral on TikTok. So basically, 28 Days Haunted, it's a series on Netflix. I had seen bits and pieces of it back when it first came out, and I never saw like the full show. And so when I found out that this has been featured, I went, because I remember there being like a specific clip, and sure enough, one of the most popular clips or famous clips from the show is actually from the investigation that was conducted here, because there was multiple locations in the show that were featured in the series. And there is a clip that I want to show you, and it's going to be like a TikTok. We're reacting to a TikTok.
So I haven't seen it yet.
Doesn't come for us. But
if you are, we have an idea.
Don't be mad at us. We have an idea. If you're here
with us, I have a great idea.
Why is this little thing that pops up? It's Lizzie.
Lizzie's stabbing her eye with a contact.
So these are two of the investigators that are downstairs conducting. So there's like cameras all over the house that are set up. Cameras, audio recorders, different ghost equipment set up. And there was some agitation going on because there was something taunting the investigators, and the male investigator gets very agitated, and you can play it and kind of watch the full clip. We'll react together. This is the first time we're going to see
it. We'll insert here for you. Okay, I'm gonna be honest. He's really angry about a vase.
He is like, I would really be freaking out
so
about
much
it.
More chill than that.
I'm gonna be completely real with y'all. And honestly, I'm gonna eat my words. I know it's gonna become nighttime, and I'm gonna be like, ah! But I don't feel spooked whatsoever.
I feel so happy here.
She feels at home,
bro. The story is writing itself. I swear to God, I lived here in a past life, and I can't explain it to you. I took a bath in that bath once upon a time.
You love it here.
I love it here. I love this room specifically. I feel very cozy here. I feel very at home in here.
No, I love that. I could totally see you doing that.
It's a work in progress.
I love
the work,
this.
The progress happening right here, right now. Me thinking about our Netflix show.
You're dreaming big, girl. I love that.
Okay, two blondies on Netflix and living in a haunted house. Come on. We get pop-ins for my brother and Shane that are like, this is so stupid, Morgan.
No, Shane would walk in here and he'd be like, you must leave. you cannot buy this house. You have to go.
So my brother, I think we talked about this on the episode of The Sip that went up a few weeks ago when they were in Colorado. My brother fell in love with this house in Encino, which I lived in Encino once upon a time. Nothing against Encino. Did I get a notification on my phone every 10 minutes that said man with machete running rampaged in the neighborhood?
I think I was with you.
Rocks being thrown at windshields, bro. Baseball bats swinging. Man with machete always. Like,
there was an app called Citizen that everyone used. I don't know if people still use it.
In LA, I know in big cities it's a thing.
But I was with Morgan when she, I think I maybe told you about it. I was like, oh, do you have the Citizen app? She downloads it. And the first notification is the first time I ever saw it. Man with machete 500 feet away. Morgan's like, machete.
I know. I loved my elderly Jewish community in Encino. Were there ladies with bats and mans with machete and people throwing rocks all the time? Yes.
Yes.
Anyway, my brother and Shane really, or my brother really loved this house because it was so beautiful. It was built by this like really bougie architect and it was his personal residence. Come to find out, it was the home of a Victorian witch cult.
Huh?
And because Shane walked in and said, this place is haunted. I wasn't there. They told me the story.
What?
Shane walked in and said, this place is haunted. And then they meet the guy that was listing it. And he's like, you know that this was basically this was old school witchcraft. Like there was a witch cult that lived here.
No.
And then they didn't get the house. Womp womp.
And listen.
Another one bites the dust.
I think there are good witches. I think that there's like good and bad. Like I don't necessarily, I'm not here to knock the occult, right? No shade is being thrown. However, you really got to know what you're dealing with. And I feel like if you don't know what you're dealing with and you go in naive, that's when things can get a little sus. So if you're like the
thought of your brother just moving into like,
like a haunted witch house, he'd be like, what? The first ghost shows up. He's like, no, like we're not doing this.
That's what we said. They're like, he would just say like, stop. And they would stop and they would be eating shade alive. Like he wouldn't stand a chance. His soul would literally get sucked into a vortex. And my brother would be like, quit it. Barf.
He'd be like, ew, knock it off. Ew, no, not in my Barbie dream house. No. Meanwhile, she's levitating off the floor.
I was like, you can't do that to your kids, bro. They're too precious to me.
I thought of Rylan being like, this is all fake. This isn't real. And she's flying around the room.
The lights flickering on and off. No.
That one is.
Which one?
Oh. Okay. Oh, I thought you were saying it too.
Oh, no. One of these lights has a little broken thing. And one of them literally blinks. Oh,
anyways, sorry. No, I'm probably just saying things. We're not starting that.
Well, anyway, what do you want to talk about next?
So I was inspired because did you watch American Horror Story?
I remember watching the first season and I did go when I lived in Los Angeles see the murder house.
Oh my gosh. That was a core that you had to in 2016.
Had to. When you went to the Grove, you had to make a stop by.
You had to. Mm-hmm. And take a picture in front of the fence. The metal fence. Girl, we live the same life, her and I.
Yeah.
But I was inspired when we walked up because I have found another story. Now, I know some people don't like the spooky, scary stories. I think this one is very relevant to where we are now because it's a spooky hotel story.
Great. So we go to this grocery store across the street and it is really, I would say the Denver comparable to an Air One. I've never seen anything like it in the streets of Denver for sure. I've only seen a Whole Foods and a Sprouts here. It is like an Air One, you know, it's all
Locavore
like
is what it's
local,
called.
Local, bougie, kind of healthy, gluten-free, dairy-free.
Bougie granola people.
Mm-hmm. Bougie granola people are shopping there. This energy drink promises focus and good mood. How on earth can you put a good mood in a beverage? Do you ever wonder that? Do you ever wonder, like, how do people promise things that they just can't deliver? I mean, I'm in a great mood, but putting that you can, like, put a mood in a cup.
Like, it puts, like, an angel number on it. It's, like, good mood. 222.
Bro. And the other thing, it's the same energy as how every pancake house says the best pancakes in the state. Every coffee house, the best coffee in America voted by us.
It's because it's all opinion based. So they could say that because if it's true to them, then and it's not fake. It's not fake advertising.
So if I hypothetically bought a haunted hotel, I could put on the front door best hotel in America voted by me.
You could say the most haunted hotel in the world. And if you and if you think it, then it's not false advertising.
Like all of the windows say like the most outrageous claims. It's like voted number one in the universe.
You know what I imagine? I
best
imagine
service.
I imagine it's constantly decorated like 90s Halloween. Like 90s Halloween decorations, like vintage Halloween all year round.
Do you follow that lady? And she changes out her New York stoop based on the season.
It's
called Stoop in the City. And every like 3 weeks, her and her husband change out the stoop. I could have a stoop downstairs and I would do different decor based on the holidays. Come on.
No, I can see it now.
Okay. Well, I'll let you tell your story now. It's just I was letting our neighbors get settled in so we can be private.
That was really generous of you. Okay, you guys, strap in. The story is titled, "The Hotel I'm Staying In Has Provided a Specific List of Rules." Now, this is just a story from the internet. Could be true, could be not true. I'd love to hear what y'all think.
It's alleged.
Allegedly. I've always hated hotels. Gross carpets, gross beds, gross bathrooms. A germaphobe's nightmare. Next time you're in a hotel, just think about it. You have no idea who was in here before you doing God knows what on the furniture or on the floor. Actually, you can probably find out if you bring a black light, I guess. I digress. Anyways, as much as I hate hotels, I always seem to end up in them. Either being forced on some family vacation with my parents and brothers or being invited on an oh-so-fun work conference halfway across the effing country. I think I'm in a new hotel about every 3 months. I first heard about the Gateway Hotel when my boss sent me an email on a Thursday ordering me to attend a conference in Oregon to discuss a merger with another smaller company. I had just let out a long exhale and accepted the fact that I would be forced yet again to travel across the country to place the biggest to please the biggest prick in the world. At least the pay was good. The very next day, at a little past midnight, I pushed open the creaky door to room 415 where I would be staying. I flicked on the light and it looked just like a regular hotel room on the surface. I placed my luggage on the counter in the little kitchen area and went to sit on the bed to play on my phone until I was tired enough to turn it in for the night. Looking up, I noticed a painting of a blonde woman in a red dress on the wall opposite the bed. Inspecting it closer, the lady in the painting was aesthetically beautiful, but something about her didn't seem right. Her hands were tucked in a very unnatural position behind her back, and the way she stood was rather menacing, as if she was about to run out of the painting at me. There was also something about her face. It was twisted in an angry expression, but she still smiled. I could see every one of her unnaturally white teeth. Her eyes seemed to follow me as I walked up to the painting. I was thoroughly unnerved by it. Why would the hotel even put something like this up? I shook my head and took the painting off the nail it hung from. I turned it away from me and propped it against the wall. I didn't want it staring at me while I slept. Something crinkled beneath me when I sat back down on the bed after taking down the painting, so I stood up. A light blue paper titled, "Welcome to the Gateway Hotel." This is what it said. "Welcome to the Gateway Hotel. We hope that you enjoy your stay, but there are some things that you need to know to maximize your fun and your safety. For this reason, the hotel staff has put in place some rules. The rules are as follows."
This is giving ghosty, speak to us.
You guys.
At the Tipton.
Oh my gosh. You guys, that is the best episode of Sweet Life of Zach
and Cody.
Oh my
God, it's so good. So good.
Can we watch that before bed?
Yes, we can.
What if I told you I own it?
I would believe you.
Thank you. I own all of the Sweet Life of Zach and Cody Hotel haunted episodes, like the Halloween episodes.
You do?
Own
them. Did you buy them on iTunes?
I did.
Good for you.
Thank you.
Way to put that credit card to use.
It was my dad's. I was 13. Thanks, Dad.
Thanks, Chris.
Rule number one. Do not destroy anything in the hotel rooms or move around any furniture. It makes cleaning up afterwards a pain for our lovely cleaning staff, and extra charges will be added to your bill if we find that you have broken this rule. Please do not engage in any intercourse. The staff hates cleaning it up, and there's a hotel specifically made for it just a few blocks away. 3. Do not leave the television on all night. The hotel needs to spend less on the electricity bill to keep all the lights on.
Okay.
4. Do not leave uncovered food out in your room. This may attract unwanted attention from critters that can smell the food. Storage in the refrigerator or cabinets is okay as long as the food is covered. 5. Do not leave your room from 1 a.m. to 4 a.m. This is when the cleaning staff are working on cleaning the halls, but do not need, but no need to worry. They won't make much noise. 6.
This is sounding like my dad's rules when I was in high school.
6. If your phone rings at 4:14 a.m., do not answer. 7. Try not to track any sand in from the beaches in your room. It's not easy to get out of the carpet, and it makes some of the hotel staff very unhappy. 8. Keep your blinds closed at night. People have reported others looking into their rooms.
Ew.
9. From between 3 a.m. to 4 a.m., you may hear a child's voice begging for help coming from the hallway. It is imperative that you are not to be tempted to look out of your peephole and do not leave your room. There is no need for that. There is no one that needs assistance at that hour. 10. Ew. If you notice a maid with long blonde hair and a red uniform in the hallway staring at you, look away, return to your room, and notify the staff. Our uniforms are light blue. Do not attempt to speak to the maid in red. If the maid is blocking your path to your room, simply return to the lobby via the stairs, not the elevator. She will not attempt to follow you unless you make prolonged eye contact with her. She will take this as an invitation. Next rule. If you are in the elevator and see a button marked B2, do not push it. We do not have a second basement level. If you do happen to accidentally push it, do not make eye contact or speak with anyone who may get on at that level, no matter what. Stand in front of the buttons on the elevator to prevent them from pushing any. Keep your head down and push the button marked L to reach the lobby. Get to the front desk and inform the person there what has happened. Again, do not make eye contact or speak with any of the passengers that get on at B2. Next rule. Do not enter room 414 if you see that it is open, even if you hear someone calling for you by name inside. Do not approach the door and do not attempt to close it. Contact the staff immediately and we will take care of it. That room is out of bounds and should be shut and locked at all times. Thank you for choosing the Gateway Hotel. We hope you have a wonderful stay and don't forget to follow the rules. Sincerely, the staff at the Gateway Hotel.
I am picturing Hotel Transylvania and like a human accidentally getting lost at Hotel Transylvania. Have you seen those?
Yeah, of course, you know, I've seen those.
Yes, you know, when her parents come to visit and they're trying to play it cool. Like, you know, we're not
Johnny's parents.
Yeah. Like, we're not mysterious. We're not scary. I picture the critters at the elevator when you get to the basement too, being like, uh-oh, they're here.
Oh my gosh, you know what this reminds me too is one of the scariest true crimes is the Hotel Cecil.
Yes. Mm. Yes.
What the actual hell is this? This has to be some kind of stupid prank from a completely irresponsible staff member that thinks it's so funny to scare their guests. I have half a mind to call the front desk and report this idiotic joke. I glanced over at the cheap digital clock on the nightstand. It's almost 12:30 at this point, and I'm not really so much of a stuck up that I would bother the front desk with something so trivial. I might report it when I leave for my meeting tomorrow. I groaned when I realized that I would have to wake up at 4 a.m. to get ready. Thankfully, I got some sleep on the flight here. I began to get settled into the bed, and as I lay beneath the scratchy beige comforter, I couldn't help but look down at the blue paper that now lay on the floor from when I had crumpled it and tossed it towards the trash can. I hate to say it, but I can't really get comfortable. Thinking about the contents on that paper, I closed my eyes but immediately opened them again and realized that I had already broken the first rule. I had taken the creepy painting down from the wall. Hesitantly, I sat up and looked at the wall across the bed. Even in the darkness of the room, I could tell that the painting was back up. A chill ran down my spine as I noticed the woman in the painting was even closer than she was before. Her face was somehow even more twisted. I quickly lay back down and shut my eyes. Guess I'm not moving the painting again. Hopefully I'm just being paranoid. Even though the rules are probably a joke, that still made me a bit nervous. The painting back on the wall was probably just a result of me scaring myself and sleep deprivation. Then again, I'm too scared to check. I'll update later after I talk to the front desk tomorrow morning. Edit. It's 1:12 a.m. I can't sleep. I think I just heard something tap on the window of my room. I'm on the 4th floor. End of part one.
Not the 4th floor. Probably, you probably made it to B2, honey.
Oh, us on the second floor. If I hear a knock on the door at midnight,
ooh, we're gonna hoping throw it's the innkeeper.
I think Morgan has a little crush.
Okay, it's just intrigued to me that he owns a haunted house.
Morgan goes, he drops us off in the room, door closed. She goes, oh, do you think he's single? I go, I hope so, girl.
I also said I was like, he's Jewish suspecting.
She goes, he gives me Jewish vibes, whatever that means.
It's a compliment.
It's so is. From Morgan Adams, that's a compliment. Okay. Are you ready for part two?
I am so ready for part two. Fourth floor, I'm locked in. Thank God we're only on the second.
I still can't really wrap my head around what the hell happened last night in that goddamn hotel, but I'll try to recount my experience up until now in the order in which they happened. I didn't want to write everything down and relive it again, but I feel like I owe it to everyone to recount my story. Even if it only stops just one person from booking a night at the Gateway Hotel, that'll be enough for my conscience. I edited my last post about an hour after I first posted it while frozen in bed, hiding under the cheap hotel comforter at 1:12 a.m. I had heard tapping on my window. I really hadn't wanted to get up and look, but I wanted to prove to myself that it was a tree or some shit like that. I stood up from the bed and crept up to the curtained window in the dark. I avoided even looking towards the painting on the wall, not wanting to see the woman again. I knew she was still there and staring in my direction. I could feel her eyes follow me as I made my way across the room to the window. The almost rhythmic tapping continued as my fingers wrapped around the edge of the curtains and pulled them back quickly, not even giving myself time to hesitate. Damn, I really wish that I had hesitated. I never expected that I would see the most grotesque face of a man staring back at me. The man's face was almost like it was rotting off, as if he, no, it, grinned at me, revealing yellow and brown teeth. Its sunken eyes met mine as I stared at the thing clinging to my window and tapping on it with a disgustingly long fingernail attached to a twisted and wrinkled hand. I had really convinced myself that it was going to be a f***ing tree tapping on the window, not some zombie guy that had somehow made it up to my window on the fourth floor. I hate to admit it, but I screamed and fell back, landing on the floor.
Well, what else are you to do?
Who wouldn't? There was no balcony outside and nowhere for this guy to stand to reach my window unless he was effing Spider-Man. I lunged for the phone and quickly dialed the number for the front desk that was scrawled on a piece of masking tape stuck to the phone. Hello, this is the Gateway Hotel's front desk. How may I help you? Hello, yeah, there's some guy outside my window tapping on the glass. I'm on the fourth floor. Please refer to the list of rules that the hotel has provided you with. If you read the eighth rule, you will see that you should have kept your windows covered. Yeah, but I'm on the fourth floor. That's never stopped them from peeking in. Please ignore any tapping that may follow. Now that you've acknowledged them, they will continue tapping all night. Remember to follow the rest of the rules carefully. Have a good night, ma'am. The phone line went dead. I slammed down the phone back into the receiver, cursing. I walked over to where the balled up rules lay on the floor and picked them up. I smoothed the paper and reread it over and over and over. I put my head in my hands as I sat in the room that had looked so ordinary just an hour ago. I eventually put the rules on my nightstand and laid down on the bed. I looked at the digital clock on the nightstand, 1:46 a.m. I jumped and hid under the covers as the tapping on the window started up again.
Ew. How are you supposed to remember so many damn rules?
I know.
There's so many.
I would need a poster.
Like, that's what I'm thinking. You need one of those home goods signs that says, in this house, we laugh often. We hug tightly. We forgive and we forget. You need one of those with all of the damn rules highlighted, the most important ones that happen in each specific room.
The house your parents live in has my favorite list of those rules.
It's
sign.
And we all make fun of the sign. Oh my God. And you know what's so funny? My brother said we should cross out where it says we apologize often because my mom says sorry for everything.
And maybe that's what she does it.
Maybe she's following the house follower. We got to get an Etsy sign.
Live, laugh, love.
with the hotel rules, bro.
I tried to sleep, but it proved impossible. The tapping on the window and my growing feelings of fear kept me up for hours. That is, until the alarm on my phone went off at 4 a.m., causing me to almost scream. I got ready for my meeting quickly, anxious to leave the hotel. I checked the rules again, making sure that I could leave the room. The clock read 4:13 a.m. I sighed in relief when I saw that I could leave. Suddenly the phone rang and I whipped around to see the clock that now read 4:14 a.m. I left pretty quickly after that. I looked out my window from outside the hotel when I walked out. The zombie guy was gone. There was almost no trees nearby. Great. Even after that rather successful meeting ended, I tried to stay out of the hotel for as long as possible. I even called my boss to ask if I could transfer hotels, but he bitched at me about the high cancellation fee and how the Gateway Hotel was the cheapest in the state. Gee, I effing wonder why. I knew I couldn't afford the cancellation fee and the fee for a new hotel room for the night. So basically, I was stuck at the hell hotel until my flight left at noon tomorrow. I returned to the hotel.
Oh, what the hell is that?
I know, I just saw that buzzing around.
We have a friend. Somebody's with us.
Whoa, that was a big old guy too.
I think it was a little gnat.
Gross.
Or a big old gnat. Daddy gnat.
I returned to the hotel at about 10 p.m. that night. I didn't want to risk going back any later. On my way through the empty lobby to the elevator, I asked the front desk about maybe transferring rooms, but they just informed me that all the rooms were booked. As I walked into the elevator, I suddenly realized that I hadn't seen anyone else in the hotel besides the front desk staff. If they were totally booked, shouldn't I have seen someone by now, or at least heard them? On my way up to my room, I saw the elevator button for B2. Not surprisingly, I did not feel any urge to push it. There was so much tension in the air as I walked down the silent, dimly lit hallway to my room. I reached the door and unlocked it with my key. I walked in and turned before I closed the door. My room was right across from 414. The door was closed and looked just so ordinary. Something about it, though, maybe it was just the fact that it was on the list of rules, made me incredibly uneasy. I could have sworn I saw a flash of red past my door as I closed it. So here I am, stuck in the Gateway Hotel for another night. Stuck in the room across the hall from the supposed nightmare room. Stuck in the room where some zombie guy was tapping on my window. Stuck in the room with a demon painting. I reread the rules again. As long as I followed them, I should be fine, right? I made sure my curtains were closed. I double-checked that I didn't leave food out. I didn't push the B2 button in the elevator. And I didn't answer the phone at 4:14 a.m. I just have to make it to noon tomorrow.
You know what I'm picturing knocking on her door? A damn goblin. A big goblin.
Don't get me
not even
on
a
goblins.
Little goblin. What if goblins come in bigger sizes? Like
they
a
do.
Mega goblin.
Have you seen Lord of the Rings?
Mm-mm.
Lord of the Rings have orcs, and orcs are just like kind of like a big old goblin, and they're nasty.
Tell me this isn't giving big old goblin coming in to eat your snacks in the middle of the night and send you to the basement, unbeknownst to you.
Mm. What's like a mythical creature that you really hope is real and hope is not real?
Mermaids.
Real.
Mermaids, unicorns. I could fuck with a unicorn.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
There is some mythology that says unicorns are like really deadly.
I would train it.
Ooh.
I put like a cork on your dragon.
I put a cork on the horn.
Yeah, we could get a little like a little hat.
Mm.
A little, you know how they put little like things to protect really expensive horses' tails? I'll put one of those on the horn.
We baby-proof the unicorn?
Yes. Yes.
Oh Lord. Something just knocked on my door. It's 1:54 a.m. I'm not supposed to look out my peephole between 1 and 4, but they're still knocking. The rules didn't say anything about opening the door. I'll update again when I'm finally out of here. Part 3. Final part. Are
Is
you
this
ready?
Time to open the door?
I'm out. I'm finally out. Spoiler alert, I survived. For now, with only some emotional scarring. However, I don't know how long I'll be able to celebrate because I think I broke another rule on accident. I think the consequences may be more severe this time. I'm only posting this now to warn you, do not book a room at the Gateway Hotel. So back where I left off, it was 1:54 a.m. when I posted and something had been pounding on my door. I knew that I couldn't open the door or look out of the peephole and I wasn't about to break any of the rules again. The rule was do not leave your room between 1 and 4 a.m. I wanted to call the front desk, but based on my prior interaction with them, I knew that they would be completely indifferent to my fear and just tell me to follow the rules again. So that's what I planned on doing for the next 8 hours and 36 minutes. I just had to make it out or sorry, I just had to make it until 10:30 when I could leave for the airport and finally get out of here.
Oh, I would have left for the airport at 5. You can sit at the airport, girl. That's no one's stopping me. You.
I would not have gone for another night and I would have slept in the airport. Be gone, bug.
Literally, you can check in the airport, I'm pretty sure, 12 hours before your flight.
Yeah, bro, that's where I would be. I gave up any hope of sleeping that night as the rhythmic pounding on my door continued. As much as I wanted to know who or what was knocking at the door, I knew that it wasn't in my best interest to check it out. I turned on my bedside lamp and just sat on my bed watching the door shutter on its hinges with every strike. Good thing I had used the chain lock on the door as well as the actual lock because, hey, I was staying in a nightmare hotel. I couldn't take my eyes off the door until the pounding had finally stopped 6 minutes later at exactly 2 a.m. Everything was quiet for the next hour. No tapping at my window, no knocks on my door, no nothing. Even though I was still right across from the creepiest painting in existence, thankfully the woman it had in it had not moved from her position from the night before since it hadn't tried to move again. I was actually beginning to think that I might be able to get some sleep that night until I heard a quiet, muffled male voice call out from the hallway outside my room. Mama? It felt like all the blood in my body turned to ice in that moment. My eyes went wide and I slowly turned my head to look at my clock. 3:02 a.m. The rule. From in between 3 a.m. and 4 a.m., you may hear a child's voice begging for help coming from the hallway. I turned back to face the door again as I heard the child, in quotes, in the hallway begin to cry whilst crying out, Mama, Mama. The crying was slowly getting louder as the child got closer and closer to my door and made its way down the hallway. My shaking hands curled into fists as the light from the hallway that was pouring under my door was blocked in two spots, almost like there was someone standing directly outside my door. Even then, I still jumped when I heard a soft knock on my door. Excuse me, ma'am? Can you help me find my mama? I'm lost.
Oh, hell no. I know all the other that has been going on in this place was terrifying, but this was on some next level horror movie cliche BS. Why did it always have to be the creepy demon child? And now, why the hell does it... and how the hell does it know I'm a ma'am?
I just stayed silent as I heard another knock on my door. The rule... It is imperative that you are not tempted to look out your peephole and do not leave your room. There is no one that needs assistance at that hour. Ma'am, please open the door. I'm scared.
Well, F me sideways, kiddo. I'm effing scared too. I just gritted my teeth and ignored the child's increasingly desperate pleas for help. Continued the next 20 minutes until I heard a sniffle and footsteps going past my door.
My relief didn't last long, however, because at 3:24 a.m., a loud tap sounded against my window. I jumped again, but quickly calmed myself.
Oh, it's just your friendly neighborhood hotel zombie Spider-Man, I told myself as I glared at the curtains that hid the window from my sight.
Surprisingly, I wasn't even scared this time. I guess it's because I realized that all I had to do was not look at it and it would leave me alone. Trust me, the desire to look at him again was 100% non-existent. I was more scared of the creepy lady painting at this point. There were no more taps on my window after that, and for the next hour, everything was calm again. I took this time of peace to pack up my few belongings that I had pulled out of my suitcase. I didn't really unpack much, and I bet you can understand why. I just ended up watching the clock on my bedside table at 4:02 a.m. When it hit 4:14 a.m., I braced myself and waited for the ringing of the phone and sat next to the clock. However, this time, the call never came. 10:30 a.m. could not come fast enough. Even though it had been calm and quiet for the past few hours, I hadn't let my guard down. That morning at 10 a.m., I cautiously peeked out of my room and stepped out. I dragged my suitcase out of the room and closed it and locked the door behind me. I chanced to look at room 414, closed and presumably locked. I took a deep breath, looked down at my shoes, and quickly walked down the dim hallway. I had almost made it to the elevator when I heard a loud unlocking sound behind me. I froze and almost unconsciously, I turned around. Room 414 was open. I was kind of far away, but trust me, I know it was room 414. It was the room right across from mine. Standing next to the door was a blonde woman in a red maid uniform. I immediately recognized her. She was the ghastly woman with the angry, twisted face that wore the red dress in the painting. the woman who had stared at me from across the room during my two sleepless nights at the hotel. And she was smiling the same white, toothy smile. Her empty eyes were fixated on mine and her hands were hidden behind her back. She looked as if she was about to bolt down the hallway at me. I quickly looked away, remembering the rule that had made me the most uneasy when I first read it, and reached the elevator button, desperate to get away from her as fast as I could. Remember the rule. If the maid is blocking your path to your room, simply return to the lobby via the stairs, not the elevator. I jerked my hand away from the elevator button and, without looking back, yanked open the door to the stairs and dragged my wheeled suitcase down four flights of stairs. I swear when I got to the bottom and opened the door to the lobby, I heard the door of the stairs open above me. She will not attempt to follow you unless you make prolonged eye contact with her. Oh God, did I look at her for too long? Is she... I slammed the door to the stairs behind me, trying not to linger on that idea for too long. I almost threw my key at the front desk. The two workers smiled at me and one of them said in a slow, unamused voice, "Hope you enjoyed your stay." Yeah, I did, I said simply through gritted teeth. Room 414 is open, just thought you should know. I left the lobby in a hurry and got in the car that I had called for earlier. It showed up after only two minutes and I wasted no time throwing my bag and myself into it as fast as I could. As the car pulled out of the parking lot, I noticed that it was practically empty with only two cars there in the parking lot. There were people at the people at the front desk told me that the whole hotel was booked for the night, but the parking lot was empty and I never saw anyone except for the people at the front desk. I shuddered and turned back for one last glance at the hotel. I saw something red in one of the fourth floor windows. I think it was waving at me as the car turned the corner and disappeared from sight. Remember the rule? If you make eye contact, she will take it as an invitation. God, I hope that I didn't look at her for too long. It was just a quick glance, right? I didn't even mean to look. How long is too long? How far would she even follow me? I hope I don't have to find out.
So you're telling me there's a lurking window zombie.
Right.
And a demon maid.
Yep.
And you chose not to go to the airport early. That's on you.
And unfortunately, I'll tell you, this is one of the more unrealistic stories. Because if I saw a zombie man staring at me at a fourth floor window...
You're calling American Express and you're getting a damn refund. I don't care what they say.
No, you take a painting off the wall, it moves back to the wall. She goes, I think I'm just tired, huh?
I think you're a big fat dummy McDum-dum to stay.
Yeah.
I would go out on a limb and say she made that bullshit up.
I concur because I, oh,
30 minutes in, she didn't leave.
No, 30 minutes. She calls the front desk. The front desk goes, what, did you not read the fucking rules? Oh, you didn't read the rules. Don't look at the zombie. Now it's going to bother you all night. And you went back? No, unfortunately, I'm fake.
If fake. We had a court of order here, fake fans.
Mm-mm. Well, what's the thing you're most excited to investigate here tonight in this haunted hotel?
The thing I'm most excited to investigate is how good I sleep in that bed. Well, I don't think there's much for us. I think that we're kind of in our area, you know?
Yeah. I really hope we don't get a knock on our door. I
don't
really
answer it.
Hope Unless. That nothing is standing at the end of our bed when we wake up. I
don't feel spooked in here. I don't.
Mm-mm. I don't either.
Should I read the story about the lady in the mirror?
Yes.
Who's ready for another anecdote where the ladies of the court will decide if this is real or fake?
Mm-hmm.
Are we ready? Based Are we locked
on,
in?
Based on the reaction of the reader and whether or not we would do the same.
Correct.
Right.
Today, I looked in the mirror for the first time in 10 years, already seeming fake. I haven't looked in the mirror in 10 years. I was diagnosed with a psychological disorder. I can't look at photos or reflections of myself. It's not a self-esteem thing. At least, I don't think so. I know that I'm average looking, maybe even above average. My fiance tells me I'm beautiful and I take his word for it. Aww.
Yeah.
It's just something I have. For the most part, I don't mind it. There are a few bad things. I can't wear eye makeup, for example, because I'll either look like a clown or poke myself in the eye. I can't drive because there are too many mirrors. I have to avoid social media on Throwback Thursday. Wow. Throwback to Throwback Thursday. I forgot about that.
Bring back TBT.
Bring back like for a TBH.
No. No one tell me what they think of me. No.
TBH, I think you're cool, but we don't talk much. That's TBH, what they all said.
TBH, I see you in the hallway all the time, and I think you're really cute.
Oh, is that what you said? Oh, I'm sure. Oh. Okay, that one's a joke. Oh, wait. What?
The TBH was a joke.
Oh, no. I also have to make sure my pots and pans aren't too shiny. Okay, that one's a joke.
Oh, hee hee.
I've accepted that this is just how I am and how I will always be. But last night, as we were getting ready for bed, my fiance brought it up. Sarah, we are getting married, and I totally understand if you don't want a photographer at the wedding because of, you know. He stumbled over his words, squeezed my hands. But I want to have photos of our wedding. I want to look at them with you when we're old. He stroked my cheek. I want you to see how beautiful you are on our wedding day. Valid. I don't know, I replied, pulling away. At least consider it. Okay, I will. I don't consider it at all. Until valid. A week later, I had just finished showering. I shut off the water, pulled on a bathrobe, and began hurrying for the door. That was always my strategy. Run out before the steam in the mirror cleared. Except this time, I slipped. Damn. Boom. I added that in. She didn't write that. Hot pain shot up my tailbone.
I think it was someone checking in. Or I think it's our neighbors.
It was like, okay. Oh.
No, you're good.
The lawnmower?
Mm-mm. Keep going. Keep going.
Hot pain shot up my tailbone. I cried out in pain, but no one could hear me. Sam was out having lunch with a potential client. Ooh la la. Maybe Sam's right. I hobbled off the wet tiled and walked out of the bathroom. I'm trying to pretend like this isn't affecting my life, but it is. My heart began to pound. I'm going to do it. I'm going to look in the mirror. I swung the bathroom door open. Steam poured out, curling toward the ceiling. I waited 10 minutes for it to clear completely. I haven't seen myself for 10 years. Damn, how do you know if you need to get your hair redone?
Oh,
how do you know if you have something in your teeth?
That would be my bigger problem. Or like a booger check. Who's booger checking you?
Who is boogie checking you? And who is, I guess your husband is really good.
He better
fiance.
Be.
Maybe it'll be fine. Maybe this one time will be so hard, but then it'll be okay. Like getting your wisdom teeth out or ripping off a Band-Aid or getting a flu shot. Sure, it sucks. It's painful and terrifying. But once you do it, you don't need to do it again for a long time. I took a shaky step into the bathroom and turned toward the mirror. My ear and a bit of my hair reflected in the glass, poking out from the doorway. I didn't feel anything. No fear, no trauma, no terror. It was a little weird seeing a part of myself. The ear looked bigger than I remembered since I was only a kid last time I saw it. But other than that, I was fine. I have nothing to be afraid of, I told myself. I took another tiny step. My jaw, my cheek, and a bit of my chin came into view. There were a few mild acne scars scattering my cheeks. My wet hair was all rumpled and tangled, and I felt fine. My heart soared. I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be okay. I took another step forward. My eyes came into view. I jumped back. A strangled scream came from my... Oh. And I... Sorry, everyone. Right when we were on the edge of our seats, technical difficulty.
The elves caused technical difficulties
that
again.
What's happening to us?
Again. I'm telling you, they're up to no good.
And they know we're onto them.
Little elves.
They know that we know.
They know that we know. I digress.
I jumped back. A strangled scream came from my throat. Not my eyes. Large, round, black pits where my eyes should be. As if someone cut away all the flesh from my eyebrow to my cheekbone on each one, leaving only darkness. Oh my God, I'm picturing like Coraline's other mother. I ran down the hallway into my room. I collapsed into the closet and locked the door. It was pitch black in here. No light, no reflections. From outside, I heard a sound, a light chuckle coming from the bathroom. I sobbed and cried and hung my head in my lap. No, no, no. The memories came flooding back, memories of my reflection as a child, or not mine, reflections of that thing, the thing in the mirror with the big black pits for eyes that would talk to me every time I saw it. Another chuckle, louder this time. I flew out of the closet. I ran down the stairs, grabbed my cell phone, call Sam. He'll make sure everything's okay. I grabbed the phone, but when I glanced down at the dark screen, I saw its reflection staring up back at me. I literally can't think of anything other than Coraline's mother. Other mother.
Oh.
Well, maybe this is exposure therapy. And maybe you just have to look in the mirror a few more times and tell yourself that it's not there.
I don't like that it was talking to her.
I know. How are you feeling after all that, Miss Actually Has Eyes?
I'm going to be honest with you. This whole experience so far, we haven't gotten to the spooky series after dark, but I'm getting so excited for Potoween this year.
Ooh la la.
Summer Weenie is like a little appetizer, and I cannot wait for the Halloween season.
Summer Weenie Hut Jr. right here, right now. I don't feel a single scary thing in this house.
No, not yet.
I think they've cleansed it.
Maybe.
But you never know. They could come out after dark. We will take vlog clips on my phone or on the camera, depending on what we have and when we have it. But we will catch up with you. We will vlog to go.
We're gonna pod to go, see if we can find any goose. any ghosty ghoulies. Jury's out. I'm liking the vibes in here.
Oh, I love it in here.
Let me be honest with you. I would be okay if there's no ghosts in here. Because that means that the spirits of the two girls have moved on. And I would be really happy about that.
We'll get back to you. Not to be concluded yet, but we will report back.
To be continued.
TBC. To be continued.
Okay, chat, rise up. Should I live here?
Yeah. I vote yes.
Brooke's gonna come back. I'm gonna be gone.
I go, she's gonna ring the doorbell. No one answers.
No, I touched on Denver. You go, oh, by the way, I have a new address. It's here.
Closer to the airport.
Does. I kind of love it. I like the blue.
I kind of love everything about it.
I wish I could see the other rooms.
I bet if we can.
I bet if we're like, is there any other rooms open that we can see?
I'm like, hi, my friend and I, we don't like each other anymore. Can I book a different
room? We know we booked the honeymoon suite.
We know we're supposed to be honeymooning, but...
Like, so this is really awkward. We actually decided that we weren't going to get married, and now we don't want to be on a honeymoon, so can I get the other one?
Trouble in Paradise, we decided that we can no longer stay work-life married, so...
Like, hey, I had a straight awakening.
You bitch!
Wow, look at this beautiful flower.
La la la!
Wow, there's beauty all around us. We're pod to going, can't you tell? This is how the episode starts.
Hi! Hey, we're in the honeymoon suite at a haunted house. What's next?
View can't get better than this. We're going on an exploration station, and I really do love this mirror.
I think you need one of these mirrors.
Sir, all by the house if you leave the mirror. No, there's no way he's getting this sucker out of here.
No, they had to remove the door to get it in, is what he said. And, oh, look at this. So this is a super, super old house, and because of that, the doors go all the way to the floor. Like, there's no airflow. And there's no AC or heat or in the original build. So this opens, I won't break it, but this still works. And you open this and the top of the door opens. So it's like a window in your room to get the airflow. And apparently it was super common in these kind of Victorian houses.
You know, that is why we figured out that my house, I don't know if Brooke remembers the original tour, yeah. But there was like every room had like a hole looking down to the center. It was because there was no AC back then.
Shut up.
Mm-hmm. That's the only way there was airflow.
We were so confused. We walked through and we're like,
I just thought they were freaky as hell.
I'm following you.
What if I'm following you?
Oh my god. So pretty. We have a little phone.
Reader, and it kind of goes off if anything, like anything with an energetic force approaches it. The only time we saw this really active was in Salem, in the cemetery in Salem, Mass. What? Did y'all see that?
So narrow, I need a head count on how many people have eaten shit. My request, make a compilation, whoever has access to the security cam footage, because oh my god.
Dude, there's no way.
We got some creepy pasta.
And the waiter snuck up behind Morgan with the food and goes, boo.
This is a relic.
We were trying to watch youtube.com. This ancient dinosaur is so old. It has a damn Xfinity sticker on it.
It has an on-demand feature on it.
Dude, on-demand was so good. Oh, apps. What's in the apps?
Oh, wait.
They have Love Island. Okay, we're actually doing good.
We're actually cooking. You guys, crisis averted. We were...
Oh, there was that. Actually, I'm just not that smart.
Yes. Oh, we're cooking.
They have Jaws.
Oh my god. Of course, that's the first thing
wow.
You see.
Shark girl. And we're sleeping in literally the smallest bed of all time.
Hey, welcome to our shoebox.
Don't forget, we have a code on Somnia Plus.
Yeah. Yes.
Everyone get their bed expander from Somnia Plus. Hear me out. I think that's the code. We'll verify because we could be using one right now. We're going to get real close, real cuddly. I've never felt less scared in my entire life.
There's not a single ghost in here. I'm sorry. God, watch us eat our fucking words. Watch there be like a pounding on the
bro,
door.
Bro, watch one of us get like dragged down in the bed down the hallway.
Hey, honeymooners.
You know, from this angle, the bed looks big.
It's not.
Just so you know.
Look at our feet.
Our feet are 2 inches apart. And we're gonna watch Project Fear.
And guess what? There's not enough pillows for there to be a lesbian barrier pillow. We're breaking the seal.
We are on this random man's account because he did not log out and his name is Hans. He has very straight man coded algorithm. We're gonna put our podcast on his algorithm just so the straight man get knowing. We gotta get those straight man numbers up.
We're trying to expand our demographic.
He is not interested in vloggers whatsoever. Morgan Wallen's the only source.
I mean, God, I haven't felt a remote like this in my hands since 2008.
Dude, the on-demand button. You used to have to call your parents and ask if you could buy like the $3.99 movie.
Yeah. Oh, here she is.
Oh, yeah, put us in.
Something about watching our podcast on a TV in a house built in the 1800s
is fucking crazy. This is not what the ladies intended.
Wow. In this room?
Don't worry, Hansi. We're going to subscribe for you. Thanks.
Thank you.
Love you, Hans. Love you, Hans. See you in the comments.
Love you, Hans. You guys, there's another brick barrier. It really stressed me out.
Dude, my brother brought that up. He was like, what are we going to do about the other brick barrier?
Yeah, she, you know, we do follow each other on Instagram.
That is so funny.
Brooke Berry's do have an alliance.
Let's ask her if we can pay her $500 to change her name.
Well, that's not even her name anymore. She's married.
Well, change it or subscribe.
Oh my god, she has no idea what he's in for.
Hans, you have just been blessed and highly favored by the YouTube algorithm itself.
The Hear Me Out girls are here to stay. He doesn't know how to work the unsubscribe button. There's no way.
Oh, no way.
He's a subscriber for life.
Don't you dare. Don't you dare. Oh my god, you are not going to expose me like this first, Lizzie. Now you, I can't trust you.
I'm literally in tears. I've never... What I just said? It wasn't that bad?
I'm humiliated to see what I am. So you think you embarrass yourself? Imagine being me for a day. Like, those are the thoughts that I have.
Oh, you should have fucking sobbing. I'm literally fucking crying. She said... I'm showing her this TikTok of ghost adventures.
I don't want to exist anymore.
Ghost,
I sacrificed to the room.
I was watching this video of ghost adventures and one of the ghost adventures guys farted.
Are we wasting our time? What was that? Did you fart?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Couldn't help it. I was nervous, and the altitude is making my stomach feel weird.
Okay.
And Zach's like, you're ruining the investigation, man. He's like, sorry, my belly hurt. Morgan, I'm like laughing at it. Morgan goes, out loud says, do you know how many times I have to resist the urge to fart into the microphone so I know what it sounds like?
You know, that was one of those things where after I said it, I realized I left it in my idea box.
Fuck, I have the giggles. Oh my god. Do you know how many times I have to fight the urge to fart into the microphone to hear what it sounds like?
Out of respect for Skylar, our dear editor who happens to be the most normal, cool girl on earth, I refrain.
The thought of sending Skylar footage of you ripping ass into the microphone. That one had that. That's a memory that will live forever.